You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Most writers and radio show hosts know that to connect with your fans, you need to do more than just write books or record the latest podcasts. There are many different elements that go into forming an online platform, but there are also many hidden traps. To make matters worse, solid advice on how to survive the muddy waters is scarce. In the book Hidden Traps, I talk about some of the important issues of working with an online platform, highlighting traps that could put your physical or internet security at risk or be harmful to your reputation. Are your social media posts just links with a few disjointed words making you look like someone who can't complete a sentence? Did your new website cost you more than you anticipated? Are you leaking your personal contact details across the web without even knowing it? Then you need Hidden Traps. Hidden Traps is now available in paperback and ebook from a variety of retailers, including Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo. Visit blackwolfpublications.com for more details.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-553-8687. That's 800-553-8687. Again, 800-553-8687.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
Everyone loves liberty. Our rights come from God, not the government. So why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Liberty HealthShare is founded on the idea that most people truly want to help one another. Healthcare sharing allows members to do just that as a true community that supports one another in times of need. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Freedom from guilt or doubt about how your money is used. You have the freedom to direct your health care, not to be dictated to by bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do and join a community of like-minded people. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare and take back the control of your health care while helping those around you. Call Liberty at 855-58-LIBERTY. Again, that's 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or you can check them out at libertyhealthshare.org. Again, that's libertyhealthshare.org.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
At St. Jude, a family never sees a bill at all. It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Sometimes writers feel lost, unsure why a passage may not be working. takes another set of eyes to help us nurture our writing into full maturity. At Black Wolf Editorial Services, we strive to enable writers to develop and grow, offering manuscript critiques and line edits through a mentoring editorial style. We also offer assistance on generating a writer's bio for your websites. Black Wolf Editorial Services, nurturing your writing into maturity. For a full list of services, visit blackwolfeditorial.com.
You're listening to the Spark Radio Network, internet radio like you've never heard before. Innovation, creativity, and imagination are all said to begin with a spark. So fasten your seatbelt and take the ride of your life and listen for the spark.
Sometimes we need to slow down and remember the simple pleasures in life. Good coffee, good books, and good company. Come on in. Take a seat. The coffee's just been brewed. Let's see who we have in the coffee shop today. What a beautiful day in the coffee shop as I wander around looking for someone with a book on their table. Let's see. Julia Blake, you've got Lost and Found, and it's got your name on the cover.
Good afternoon, Jesse. It has indeed. This is my latest book, recently released.
Outstanding. You got to tell me about Lost and Found.
Right. Well, it's a fairly new departure for me. It's a lot shorter than my previous books. It's very, very action-packed, very fast-paced, punchy, with a very handsome hero and a beautiful heroine. It's a quick read, unlike my other books, which are a lot longer, and it's very much plot-driven.
So why don't you tell me about the plot?
Well, I will read you the blurb from the back of the book, and then that should tell you all about it. Arianna Santorini has had a hard life, abandoned by her criminal husband, left alone to raise their child for 6 long years. She's made the best of things. Then she meets Luke Blackwood. Initially, he seems perfect. Strong, kind, understanding and loving, everything she could possibly want. But Luke has a secret. He's rich, very rich. And Arianna has a deep-seated prejudice against wealthy men, believing it turns them into men like her husband, manipulative, arrogant bullies. When she finds out the truth about Luke, her first response is to send him away, harden her heart to what might have been. Then the worst thing that can happen to a parent happens to Arianna, and the one person who can help her is the one she's vowed never to see again. Sometimes you have to lose everything to find what's really important.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. And it's a romantic suspense?
It is a romantic suspense, yes. Lots of thrills and spills along the way and a good deal of romance as well.
And I'm guessing Arianna's a pretty strong woman to have raised a child for 6 years by herself.
She's had to have been. She had absolutely no clue what her husband was getting up to until the police come knocking on the door and he has left the country, leaving her to face the music.
Ouch!
Add to that, their child is only 2 years old. It leaves her in a bit of a sticky position, as all the money is gone, and she has never had to work to look after herself.
Oh boy, yep. But they always...
Luckily, she has...
They always say you don't know what a woman's made of till you put her in hot water.
Absolutely, and Arianna is made from pure steel, right the way through. Yet she's also very soft, very kind, and desperately needs to be loved.
Sounds like a great read after a long, hard, nerve-shattering day.
It is. It's just the type of book you can sit down with, pick up, and it's not a long commitment book. It's the sort of book that you can lose yourself in for an hour or so.
Well, if I could put it down after an hour or so.
Well, hopefully it will keep you going until the very end. I know that my mother, who's in her late 70s, has practically ordered me to hurry up and write the sequel because she has to know what happens next.
Well, that means you'll be back in the coffee shop when the sequel's ready. Score!
Oh, hopefully, Jessie. That would be wonderful.
I love repeat guests. So how long did it take you to write Lost and Found?
Well, there's a little bit of a story behind that. I actually wrote Lost and Found about 12 years ago. I myself was going through a similar situation to Arianna, not that I had a criminal husband who's left the country, but I was going through a very unpleasant divorce. All my choices were being taken away from me, and I discovered that I could write, and writing became a safety valve. And over the course of 2 years, I actually wrote 6 books.
Wow, 6 books, 2 years? That's a lot. So have you published all these books, or some of them still hiding on your hard drive?
Some of them are still hiding, not just on my hard drive. I learned my lesson when I had a computer crash and I lost everything. They are on memory sticks and on separate hard drives all over the place, so I know they're safe. 3 of the books have now been published. I have another 3 to come out.
Wow. I may have to go sniffing around for the other 3 books.
Well, if you just go to my website, there are little tasters of all the books. There are pictures of the beautiful covers. And there's a quick click way to download it from Amazon or buy it as a paperback.
I happen to be very partial to my Kindle, so I'll probably stick with the Kindle version. Thank you.
Well, it takes up less space on the bookshelf.
Exactly. In fact, my poor Kindle, which is relatively new, can't hold my entire library.
Oh no, so you have to buy another one.
No, I just can't have them all downloaded at once.
Oh.
But it's still fun. I love my Kindle. It's a great
Kindles
way
of
carrying around all the books I want.
They're also extremely useful if you're traveling. If you're on holiday, I mean, who wants to take a fortnight's worth of books away in your suitcase? But there is something about holding an actual book in your hands, that new book smell, that feeling as you settle down for the first time and open its pages, that is quite magical.
Yes, it is magical, but unfortunately, I'm a military spouse. We move every 3 to 5 years, so my husband and I have set a rule. You can have 2 authors of whose books you get in physical form.
How do you choose?
Well, I do have one favorite traditionally published author who puts out a book a year. And I always
I know who that is?
That it would be Brad Thor. He's a thriller writer.
I've never actually heard of him. Is he worth looking into?
If you like military thrillers where the good guys open a can of worms on the terrorists, yeah. They're a blast.
But okay.
What I love even more about Brad is the research he puts into his books. Out of the 17 books he has out, I happen to love 15 of them immensely. And I have all of them signed in hardback sitting on my bookshelf.
You can always tell when an author has bothered to do the correct research. It comes through in their writing. That familiarity and the knowledge, it really adds authenticity to their writing.
Exactly. And, I mean, for example, given his genre of thriller, there's a lot of firearms and weapons and things like that. And if it's not bolted to an airframe or a U.S. military vessel, you can pretty much bet the author's fired it. And
that will show in his writing. Knowledge of subject. It's very important. A lot of authors don't do that. And sometimes you read the book and think, this doesn't ring true. You don't know what you're talking about here.
Exactly. He went so far as to, and how he got the permission to do this, I don't know, but he got himself embedded with a U.S. Special Forces group in Afghanistan for 2 weeks for research.
Oh, good heavens.
For one of his novels.
Obviously, he has connections in the right place, because I would imagine they wouldn't let anybody just go do that.
I believe it's because they were fans of his books.
Oh, well, that's an even better reason. You will find readers in the oddest places.
His books are just, they're amazing. They hit my Kindle at midnight. I'm finished by sunrise.
And then you go and buy the hardback.
I actually have a habit of attending a Brad Thor book signing every year. and I always get the hardback from whatever bookseller is doing the signing I attend. That way I'm supporting the bookseller and encouraging them to do more events like this.
Mm-hmm. That's a good plan. So long as he's somewhere close to where you live, that's a very good plan.
Well, he tends to cover most of the United States with his book signings, so I'm been known to hop a plane, hop a train, drive for 10 hours to get to a Bradthor book signing.
Now, every writer deserves to have a fan like you. I would only wish that my fans could be so ardent.
Well, like I said, I'm very much a fan of his writing, so I haven't picked my second author yet, but I have all 17 of his books sitting on my shelf in hardback first edition, and they're all signed.
That's amazing. So when is his next book out?
I'm waiting a whole nother summer of 2018.
Oh, gosh, that's a long way away.
Yes, Use of Force, which is his most recent one, just came out this past summer. But I, of course, have signed copies, and I will be enjoying those while I wait. And what can I say? That gives me a chance to read other books, because I'm a voracious reader. I'll read anything if it sits around in front of me long enough, as long as it's got words.
I like reading too. Unfortunately, I don't get a great deal of time at the moment, but books are my first love. I adore reading, and I'll read pretty much any genre.
Same here. So you don't stick to one genre with your reading?
I don't. I read all over the place. The only genre I'm not too keen on is absolute horror. Not because I don't enjoy it while I'm reading it, but because it disturbs me too much late at night.
I can understand that. It may be fun to read, but then what you read seeps into your dreams.
It does, and stops me from sleeping.
Exactly. And, well, we don't want that.
I need my sleep.
So, do you write on a computer, or do you sit down and write on pen and paper? How do you do your writing, and where do you do your best writing?
I can tell you exactly when I do my best writing. That's first thing in the morning. I'm afraid I'm a complete lark. I like to be up very early while the house is still very quiet. I can go downstairs into the lounge where I have my own little nook in the corner with my little red desk and my laptop, sit down, open it up, and just start. I'm extremely lucky in that I've never really suffered from writer's block. It just flows through my brain, into my fingertips, down onto the laptop. At the end of the session, I'll stop and look down and realize I've written 2,000, 3,000, maybe even 4,000 words. And then I'll read it back. And only then do I really realize what I've written. And sometimes it's a huge surprise to me what my characters are doing.
So you don't have everything plotted out and outlined in advance?
Absolutely not. I am terrible. I'm rubbish at planning things. I have an idea in my head how the story is going to start. I know roughly how I want it to end. But the journey in between is up for grabs. Anything could happen.
So you're in what I call the hybrid category. You know plot point A, plot point B, and plot point C, but how we get from A to B and B to C, well, that's anybody's guess.
It is, and it could change. I might think I know what's going to happen, but then a character will say, you know what, I don't like the plans you have for me. I think we should do it this way. And I'm usually just there for the ride. I'm a real pushover when it comes to my characters. I tend to let them have their heads.
Well, you know what? That same author we were discussing, Brad Thor, who happens to be multiple number one New York Times bestselling author, yeah, he does it the same way. So I'd say you're in great company.
Oh, well, that's a relief. I do hear of writers who meticulously plan and plot every single chapter. And before they even start to write, everything's planned out. I just want to get right down to the writing. I get bored with the preparation. I just want to dive straight in and get into the thick of it.
Well, there's the old saying, no surprise in the writer, no surprise in the reader.
Well, maybe that's true. Maybe that's why people say they like my book so much, because they never quite know what's around the corner.
So how long before we get the sequel to Lost and Found?
I have already started it. Because they're such short books, these ones, it shouldn't take me so long. I am hopeful that maybe either by Christmas or early in the new year.
Oh, what a great time to put out a book.
I do have another book as well that is in final edit stage, and that will definitely be out by Christmas. So it's going to be a question of whether I release two books in the run-up to Christmas or if I hold back on the second book in the series and release that in the new year. But either way, there will be another Julia Blake book out by Christmas.
Oh, what's the other one? Is it another romantic suspense?
No, this is completely different. This is a fantasy novel along the lines of Narnia and those sorts of books, with a wonderful magical world that has sword fighting and dragons and lots of adventure.
Okay, every time I get a fantasy author, I have to ask this question. How do you research a dragon?
You make it up as you go along, because quite frankly, who's going to dispute you? If you say it breathes fire, who knows, it could do. If you say your dragon is pink, well, so what, it's pink. Fantasy is one of those amazing genres where you can basically say whatever you please and no one can contradict you.
The only thing about fantasy is if you're basing it on real world and you reference a real world, we'll say landmark, you definitely don't want to move Big Ben to Scotland without a reason.
No. Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. Not unless it was in a parallel world, no. Anything that is in the real world stays exactly as it should be. But once you've crossed the boundary into the parallel world, well, then you can really do what you like.
Like I said, you can do anything as long as you can support it with the plot.
Yes. Absolutely. The plot, it has to be credible. It has to be believable. Even in a fantasy world, you don't want your writer to go, oh, your readers to go as if. You want them to nod as they're reading and think, yes, that's logical. That makes sense. I can understand these motives. I can understand this plot. I can see why that happened. If you start making the plot nonsensical, then you'll very quickly lose your reader's attention.
And that is the one thing that will have me going, okay, I can't take any more. One of the things that will have me go, I can't take any more of this book. I'm going to close it and find something else on my Kindle to read. Mm-hmm. Because I've actually read books that I know where this landmark is. It's a well-known landmark. You know, we're not talking Joe's Diner that could be anywhere. We're talking something like Big Ben. You don't just up and move something like that without backing it up, because it just bounces the reader out.
Yes.
So, speaking of quality put into books, do you do your own editing or do you have someone help you with that?
I used to be a professional editor a long time ago, so I do have a bit of an advantage there. But it is incredibly difficult to edit and proof your own work because you see what you think should be there. So I do have a team of fantastic beta readers who, once I have thrashed out the book as best I can and gone through it as many times as I can, they take over and they go through and just find the one or two that slipped past me.
Well, that's great, because that's the other thing that I often find is a problem. Self-published authors, and yes, they seem to be getting fewer and far between, but I've seen many a self-published author where the book wasn't edited hardly at all.
I know exactly what you mean. I do read an awful lot of books by indie authors. I really like to support my fellow authors, but there have been one or two books where, let's just say, punctuation seemed to be a complete stranger to them, and entire paragraphs without a single comma, which just leave you breathless and confused.
Now, there was one time I actually found that a run-on sentence, it was left in on purpose, worked beautifully.
Yes, it can. I have one paragraph in one of my books where the heroine is trying to explain to another character the circumstances that led to her having to call for an ambulance and transport a friend of theirs immediately to hospital. And I did that sentence right the way through with no paragraphs, no stops, with disjointed words, because I wanted to convey the breathlessness of the heroine, her panic and her fear of trying to get across how it had felt to discover her friend in such trauma and how it felt calling for the ambulance. Sometimes rules can be broken, but very rarely.
Exactly. The scene in this one was a car flipping over. And so they did it as a run-on sentence to give you the feeling of all the chaos that happened.
Yes.
And it worked beautifully. But the rest of the book was well edited.
And that can make such a difference. But you are quite correct in that a lot of independently published books, they haven't been proofread correctly. They haven't been formatted correctly. And the punctuation and the grammar, and very often they're full of spelling mistakes as well.
I've got to say that one thing I can't stand is spelling mistakes. If it's UK English, great. I can handle it. I know what I'm getting into. If it's US mm-hmm. English, fantastic. But don't switch between the two in the same book.
Oh, that can be very confusing. I know every time I try and spell checker keeps trying to change all my words to American. And I have to keep going back to the dictionary and changing it to English version because it just keeps wanting to take out all the U's and put Z's in. But I am adamant that I'm a British writer. This is a British book. It will be spelt consistently British all the way through.
Like I said, pick one and stick with it. I don't think that's too much to ask from a reader's perspective.
I think sometimes the writers trust the spell checker too much.
Way too many times. So what's a piece of advice, since we're going down that path anyway, that you would give to a self-published or an indie author?
Make sure your book is as perfect as you can make it. Don't be in a rush to publish. Get it right. I know you can always pull back the paperback and the Kindle, and you can always re-edit it and republish it, resubmit it. But that's not fair on the people who bought the initial copies. Try and get it right first time and get somebody else to read it too. Get somebody whose opinion you trust to have a look at it. Get somebody who's an excellent speller and perhaps knows a little bit about grammar and punctuation. Get them to go through it with a fine tooth comb. Bribe them, pay them, whatever you have to do to get somebody else to look at it for you. Don't rely on your own eyes because you know what's meant to be there, and very often your eyes will lie to you about it.
Excellent, excellent advice. So do you use just Microsoft Word or do you use other writing software?
Nope, I just stick to Microsoft Word. I'm a little bit old-fashioned. I know Microsoft Word. I know what I can do with it. I like it. It doesn't confuse me. I can sit here and just bash out lots of words and then go through and edit and cut and paste. I love cut and paste because sometimes I will read a paragraph and think, you know what? That would work so much better 3 pages ago. And I love the fact I can just highlight it, copy it, paste it in somewhere else. I can't imagine what it must have been like when you had to hand type every correction.
Oh, I have one word for that. Ouch!
I don't know how on earth Shakespeare managed.
I'm glad we now live in a world filled with technology.
I love technology. I love social media. I do have to sometimes ask my teenage daughter to help me out a little because I'm not very technical and she sort of very grumpily helps me out, which is wonderful. But I think it's amazing. And even just a few years ago, a self-published author wouldn't have had the chances that they have now. Now you can publish a book and somebody in Australia can download it and read it. Somebody in America can follow you on Instagram, like what you have to say, and also read your book. It wasn't that many years ago that if you self-published, it was an entirely different matter.
No, and technology has brought us by leaps and bounds. It's one of those amazing things. It's just beyond comparison in many respects.
It can obviously have many negative sides. I think sometimes the internet makes people forget their manners. I have seen some truly awful and rude comments by people on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and places like that. but it can also be wonderful in that it can bring people together. I now have wonderful friends all around the world who, before social media and technology, I would never even have known about, let alone have spoken to.
Well, I very much am a big fan of technology and use it on almost a daily basis.
The few occasions when the electricity goes off, that I think makes you really realize and appreciate what a wonderful age we live in.
Yes, it does. So, what is your favorite social media platform?
I would have to say Instagram. I do enjoy, I have some lovely followers, and I'm following some very interesting people. And I like the little snippets I'm allowed to view into their lives. I have such different and diverse followers, and they're always posting amazing pictures of their lives. I have one follower who lives in the Cayman Islands, another several followers in Australia, Africa, different parts of the UK, all over America. It's just so interesting to have that little sneak into their lives.
So you're an Instagram fan. That's interesting. Now, are you part of the internet writers community? Do you have writer friends online as well as in person?
Yes, I'm a very big part of the Bookstagram, little group of family and friends on Instagram, a little book family we call ourselves. I love Facebook too. I'm gaining in strength on Facebook and meeting more and more fabulous people on there. And of course, there's a great deal of crossover as well. A lot of my friends on Instagram are also on Facebook.
Well, that's great. So, do you find that the social media has distracted you from your writing or helped you with it?
I think it's a bit of a two-edged sword. I think if you ask any writer who's active on social media, it's essential in that it helps to promote and market our books. After all, you can have written the best book in the world, but if nobody knows it's there, you're not going to sell any copies. But it can also be a great time waster. Sometimes just you go on there thinking, oh, I'll just have a quick look. I'll just have a little look and see what everybody's doing. And 2 hours later, you've wasted 2 hours that you could have been writing.
So how do you balance the need for being on social media with the time it takes you for writing? Do you just get up and start writing and then deal with social media afterwards, or what?
What I tend to do on the days that I've scheduled for writing, i.e. the days that I'm not having to go to work, I get up incredibly early. I like the house to be still and quiet, as I said before. So I make myself a cup of very strong tea and sit down, and I have half an hour then just to relax, drink my tea, clear the sleep from my eyes. And that's when I pop through social media and have a look and see what's happening. And then I do try very hard to put social media away and devote at least 4 hours to writing until lunchtime. If I can write from breakfast till lunch, I can get usually a good 3,000 to 4,000 words written. Then break for lunch, and after lunch, I'll look through everything I've written that morning. Sometimes it's a huge surprise to me what I've written. I do a little bit of editing, and then later on in the evening, I go back onto social media, and that's when I really catch up. That's when I promote. That's when I look and see what all my followers are doing. I look and see what the authors who I follow are, if they've posted anything interesting or anything that needs to be shared or promoted. I'm a great believer in helping other authors. So I'm always looking through to see if I can give them a boost, if I can share on my page or like something or make a comment. And I can't actually write in the evenings. I know a lot of authors say that the evening is the time that they can, and of course it's different for everybody, but by the time the evening gets here, my brain's a porridge. I do not have an original thought in my head. It is just the time that I catch up with social media and also spend some quality time with my daughter.
Well, it sounds like you have a lovely schedule worked out.
When it works, yes.
Oh, so when life doesn't get in the way and take over, huh?
Yes, when something else doesn't pop up and say, I need attention, sort me out now. And then I have to sigh, walk away from my laptop and deal with whatever other adult thing is happening.
Yes, unfortunately, there are those day-to-day commitments that happen for all of us.
especially at the moment when it's school holidays still here. So my daughter is in the house all day. There's always some little drama or other that's going on with her.
So you have a beautiful cover. How did you get such a gorgeous cover?
I made it myself. I actually purchased the image from an online company that sells copyright and royalty-free images. I downloaded it, and then a very close friend of mine has a wonderful computer which has a program on it that can put text onto photographs, and it can shrink the photograph to the correct size and move the text around. And I sit down with her, and we just design the cover together. I know exactly what I want. So I think sometimes she gets a little annoyed with me because I'll be going, no, that's not quite right. If you could just move it just a smidge to the right, and she'll be, define a smidge. How far is a smidge? So I'll be going, no, there, that's perfect. And now if you could just move the text on the other side down slightly. And then after a few hours of this, we end up with a cover that I'm very happy with. And that's the cover I go with.
So you break the rules and do it yourself.
Yes, I do. That way I get exactly what I want.
Since you are buying commercial royalty-free images, do you ever worry about someone else having the same cover?
I hadn't until recently when I saw that another author had used a very similar image to one that I have on one of my books. It wasn't exactly the same, but it was close enough that it made me think, maybe I should rethink this process. And I have actually now got contacts with a very good local photographer who has offered in future to help me out with any photographs for any future books. And the fantasy book that is going to be released by Christmas, an illustrator friend of mine is actually creating some unique artwork for the cover. So I know that there will be no danger of anybody else having the same.
Well, that's great. And unfortunately, with everything like we were talking about adult responsibilities, there are radio station bills to play and we must take a commercial break. So I'm going to pour Julia some more hot water for her tea.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
And we will see you on the other side.
Most writers and radio show hosts know that to connect with your fans, you need to do more than just write books or record the latest podcasts. There are many different elements that go into forming an online platform, but there are also many hidden traps. To make matters worse, solid advice on how to survive the muddy waters is scarce. In the book Hidden Traps, I talk about some of the important issues of working with an online platform, highlighting traps that could put your physical or internet security at risk, or be harmful to your reputation. Are your social media posts just links with a few disjointed words making you look like someone who can't complete a sentence? Did your new website cost you more than you anticipated? Are you leaking your personal contact details across the web without even knowing it? Then you need Hidden Traps. Hidden Traps is now available in paperback and ebook from a variety of retailers, including Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo. Visit blackwolfpublications.com for more details.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-553-8687. That's 800-553-8687. Again, 800-553-8687.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
At Everyone loves liberty. Our rights come from God, not the government. So why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your healthcare? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Liberty HealthShare is founded on the idea that most people truly want to help one another. Healthcare sharing allows members to do just that as a true community that supports one another in times of need. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Freedom from guilt or doubt about how your money is used. You have the freedom to direct your health care, not to be dictated to by bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do and join a community of like-minded people. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare and take back the control of your health care while helping those around you. Call Liberty at 855-58-LIBERTY. Again, that's 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or you can check them out at libertyhealthshare.org. Again, that's libertyhealthshare.org.
Sometimes riders feel lost, unsure why a passage may not be working. It takes another set of eyes to help us nurture our riding into full maturity. At Black Wolf Editorial Services, we strive to enable riders to develop and grow, offering manuscript critiques and line edits through a mentoring editorial style. We also offer assistance on generating a rider's bio for your websites. Black Wolf Editorial Services, nurturing your riding into maturity. For a full list of services, visit blackwolfeditorial.com.
And I thank everyone for hanging in there with us over that commercial break. Yes, author Julia Blake is still with us. Now, Julia, you have referenced some other books throughout this interview. Why don't you tell me a little bit about those other books? What genre are they? Are they all the same, or do you have three or four other genres behind you?
I like to mix it up a little with my genres. My first book that was published back in 2015 is called The Book of Eve, and it's based in my hometown of Bury St Edmunds in Suffolk, which is the most gorgeous medieval market town. It's full of history. It has some wonderful old abbey ruins. It is a beautiful town. So I based my first book in the town, in a stately home just outside of it. And it's doing incredibly well. I have to say, especially among the Americans, I'm getting some lovely reviews from them. And one reviewer actually said it was a modern-day Downton Abbey, which was very nice. So it's had a lovely response. I've had over 50 five- and four-star reviews worldwide, and not one single bad word said about it.
Well, that sounds fantastic. So tell me a little bit about the plot in this one.
Well, the Book of Eve starts out with the main character, Melissa, in Jamaica. She's on her own. Her life has fallen apart. She has exiled herself for a year. She has gone back to being Melissa because she was Eve. And Eve was successful and happy and had a wonderful group of friends and a man she was in love with. But it all fell apart in one terrible night of betrayal and lies and treachery. And she ran away. She ran away from everything. So she has been in Jamaica for over a year, trying to put her life back together, but really her life is on hold. And then she receives an email, a message from beyond the grave, that brings her back to face the music.
Another woman who you don't know how strong she is until you put her in hot water.
Seems to be a recurring
theme, no matter what genre you're writing.
I write about strong men and even stronger women.
And is there another romantic element in this one as well?
There is a romantic thread, but it's not the main focus of the story. It's more of a friendship book. It's more of a story of how very different people can form an entity which is greater than the sum of its parts, but how just one act of betrayal can completely smash that magic circle.
It also sounds fascinating. So,
well, like I said,
oh, continue. Do.
Sorry, I was just about to say, well, like I said, it's had some pretty amazing reviews. I'm extremely fortunate, and I've never had a bad review on any of my books. I know it will come at some time, and I am prepared for that. But up until now, people have been nothing but kind about my work.
Well, I must say you're safe for me because Jesse doesn't do book reviews. If I have feedback, I contact the author privately. I just don't want Jesse associated with book reviews. I like all authors to feel welcome in the coffee shop.
Absolutely, and I feel very welcome here. In fact, I'm going to have a little bit more of my tea.
Oh, please do while I come up with the next question for you. So, how do you develop your characters? You must know so much about your characters to just let them run away with the plot line for your story.
Well, like I said, I do write strong men and even stronger women, and they are very headstrong. Sometimes they force me into a direction that I hadn't ever intended to take them. Most of the time, I go along with the ride. Occasionally, I yank on the reins and say, no, that is not what I wanted. But the characters become so real to me. They are like people I know. And you can't control people you know. They have their own desires and their own needs. So sometimes it makes for a more interesting story to just sit back and say, fine, have it your way. What is it you want to do?
Now, let me go back to editing for just a moment. They say editing is slaying your darlings. Have you ever had to pull something out of one of your books, even though you are self-published, just because it didn't move the story forward?
Frequently. Sometimes you write a passage that is so beautiful, it stuns even yourself with the skill that you have, but it the plot. So what I do is,
even though you're an independently published or self-published author, have you ever had to delete a scene that just wasn't moving the story forward?
Frequently. Sometimes I'll read back something I've written and I will be stunned at how beautiful it is and surprised at just how good a writer I am, not to be too boastful here, but if it doesn't work in that particular story, if it doesn't move the plot along or moves it in a direction that I wasn't intending it to go, then what I do is I try never to lose anything. I will take it out, refile it into a separate file and keep it safe. I will also print out a hard copy of it and pop it in a folder I've got called Ideas for Possible Future Use, because you never know. Just because it doesn't work in that particular story, I might be able to recycle and reuse it somewhere else.
Okay, so you don't throw away those precious words?
No, never. Because I might say to myself, oh, I'll remember them, but you never do. Or you don't remember them in precisely that order. So I always just save them, because I have actually reused some of the things that I previously cut out of other books.
A friend of mine, what she did with the scene that she had to cut out of a book, she used it, she turned it into a short story and used it to draw people to her website.
Yes, that can sometimes happen. I love novel writing, but I have written a great deal of short stories and flash fiction and even poetry. And I had all of these amazing little snippets of stories and poems sitting around, and I didn't know what to do with them. And then back in March, my ebook novella Life Song was published, and it was only available as a Kindle download. And I was inundated with messages from readers saying, this is not fair. We don't have the facilities to download it. We don't have a Kindle. We don't have a tablet. How are we supposed to read it? We really want to read this story, but we can't. So I thought about it and discussed it with a few other authors, and then I decided to gather not only Life Song, the novella, but every other short story, flash fiction, and poem I'd ever written. And I put them all together into one gorgeous little book, and it was published in April. So everybody could buy it as a paperback or download it as a download, and they would have everything.
Well, that sounds wonderful. So what advice would you give as to when an author's work is truly ready to be published? When do you say, stop polishing, it's done? When do you draw that line?
I think there is the danger to keep going. I have seen authors on Facebook and they have set themselves a word limit on their book. I saw one author, for example, saying, 70,000 words. My book is not going to be any more than 70,000 words. So I'm cutting and cutting and cutting. And now I'm thinking I might have to publish it as two different books because I can't quite get it down under 70,000. And I did actually feel moved to message her and say, where is this 70,000 limit come from? A book is as long as it is long, and by all means trim away the fat. But if you're trimming away bones, then stop, because without its bones, the story is not going to be able to stand upright. I think there is a great fear in this day and age of having a story that's too long, a book that's too wordy. We seem to think that people have lost their attention spans. They're unable to deal with big books. I don't think that's true. I think if the story is good and it's engaging, a reader will stay with you for the length of the book. So I think I would say to authors, if you read it through and you finish your story and you think it's done, it doesn't need to be a word longer or a word shorter, then stop. Publish it. You're finished.
After you get a few other sets of eyes on it, of course.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, that must be the final decision after your beta readers or your editor or your formatter or whoever else is reading it for you, after they've all read it and agreed that it's perfect, then agree with them. Stop.
Well, I think that's excellent advice because I have seen one, I ran into one indie published author and I got to the end of the book, and it might as well have been a chapter break. It was not a complete arc. And now I've got to wait for the second book in the series to get the rest of the story.
It that can be very frustrating. I think there is a danger when you're writing a series to leave your readers on too much of a cliff edge. The thing with Lost and Found, yes, it's book one of a season. Of a series of books, but they're all written about one very large, wonderful family, and each family member is going to have their own book. So each book is complete in itself, and the next book will merely carry on with a fresh set of characters, and the main characters from the previous book will step back and become sidelines. They will become secondary characters.
So how do you get to know these characters do you create? Do you sit down and interview them like I'm interviewing you, or do you just let them explain themselves, just come up with a name and let them tell you who they are?
Usually it starts with one personality trait or a quirk or a physical trait, and it builds from there. I'll think, oh, this character likes tea, for example. They like tea. But it has to be poured into a special cup. That's very quirky. Why do they like that? Oh, I see, because they have this funny little personality. And it sort of builds from there. Gradually, they get layers and layers and layers. And then they start nagging at me and talking to me during the day. So I could be at work. I could be anywhere. And a whole host of characters are jostling for attention in my head. And once I start to write, more and more and more of the character is revealed to me as more layers are peeled back, and I get to learn the heart of the character, and then half the time fall completely in love with them.
Have you ever fallen in love with a character that you had to remove the entire character and save them for another work?
I've had a character that I've loved, but they've not been appropriate for the book I was writing. So I've had to sideline them. They've had to be a very quiet voice in that book. And they are scheduled to have their own book at a later date.
Well, that sounds fantastic. So how many books do you have out in total?
I have 4 books out at the moment, plus an ebook.
I think that sounds like a lot of lovely words to go through.
Thank you.
Now, as I do with everyone at the end of the interview, I always give every author that visits the coffee shop a chance to give out their social media contact information.
Well, it's very easy for me. If you'd like to go online and look for my webpage, which is www.juliablakeauthor.co.uk, on there, you will find lots of information about my books. There will be some little teasers of each of the books. There'll be links to get through to Amazon to buy them. And there'll also be links to all of my social media. But I am on Facebook as Julia Blake Author, and Instagram as Julia Blake Author, and Goodreads as Julia Blake Author. Also, if anyone's interested in getting some further little teasers for my books, I do have a YouTube channel. Again, Julia Blake Author. And you can go on there and watch some fantastic little videos which give you just a taste of what the books are about.
And anyone trying to track me down can find me on Twitter at Jesse's POV. You can check out the coffee shop at jessiescoffeeshop.com. Or you can email me at the station, jesse@klrnradio.com. And that goes for whether you want to be a guest on the coffee shop or you miss an author's contact information. Yes, I've got it all tucked away. And I'll be happy to answer any questions I can for you. Now, it's time for me to snatch Lost and Found off the table, pour myself a cup of coffee, and settle down for what sounds like a fantastic book. And I will see you folks next time in the coffee shop.